join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Faith to Stand by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
6th chapter, verse 13. And Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness," keep going, "and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And so I'm doing part two today of standing faith, or faith to stand. Faith to stand. We see that word stand in those two verses. We see it three times. The first time we see it is Ephesians 6:13. It's part of the word withstand. Then we see, having done all to stand, then he continues, "stand therefore." And so we said, just as we use our faith in various areas, sometimes you just have to use your faith to stand. Sometimes it's not that you're not confessing. It's not that you're not giving. It's not that you're not living. It's not that you're not loving. Sometimes you just got to stand. We look at somebody and say, sometimes you got to stand. And the text tells us, first of all, when we stand, in order to stand, you got to have the whole arm of God, because while you're standing, there's going to be darts thrown at you and arrows shot and shots fired. But you got, if you have on the whole armor, you'll be able to stand. And then say, if you have the right arm on, now you'll be able to withstand, which means to stand against. And then it says you have to do all to stand, which means refusing to give up, take down, or compromise. And then it says, and when all is said and done, just stand therefore. And you need faith to stand. Sometimes there's nothing that you can do but stand. And I said, I've never seen such a time in the church where it looked like people just aren't able to stand. Paul says this, and I think we should be reminded of it. He writes to one of the churches. He said, listen, I want to let you know, it's Peter. He said, thinking not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try your faith as though some strange thing is happening to you. And then another place, Paul says, you're not the only one suffering. He said, this happened to all the other churches as well, and all the other people as well. And the devil wants you to think you can't stand, because the devil wants you to think you're the only person going through this. You know, there are people right now who are smiling, who are going through things. Amen. Everybody going through is not frowning. Everyone is not mad. Everyone is not home. Everyone is not depressed. Sometimes we're just standing through it. But the devil wants you to think that you're all alone. And so nobody knows the trouble you've seen. And swing low, sweet chariot, come and take me home. And get a spirit of heaviness. And have a pity party as though you're the only one who's ever been through anything. There's other people going through the same thing you are going through right now. And I'm telling you, they are standing through it. One of the things that we hope that you're seeing, even as my family has been sharing with you and being transparent with you, as we're just even going through scripture and then just having some family discussion in your presence during our Wednesday Bible study during this month of focus on the family. One of the things we're hoping that you see is that we're a family just like anybody else. But we just have to stand through things. Amen? And so we looked at Proverbs 24 and 10, which says, if you faint in a day of adversity, your strength is small. And then that verse from the Message translation says, Proverbs 24 and 10, if you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. Can I tell you, God expects you to stand. Say that. Say, God expects me to stand. And then he's given us what we need to stand. He's given us the arm of God. He's given us his word. He's given us the sword of the spirit. He gives us the breastplate of righteousness. He's given us the shield of faith. Everybody say the shield of faith. He said, take the shield of faith whereby you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, nobody else, I never heard anybody else teach this, but in order for me to get better understanding of the word, when I look at the word, I read and listen to what it says. It says you'll be able to quench the fiery darts, which tells me some darts may hit you. You can't quench a thirst unless you're thirsty. It means to quench, it means to put out the effects of it. Glory to God. And so if you will use the shield of faith, there are some things that's going to hit you. Life is going to hit you. Storms are going to hit you. Some darts may get through. Some arrows may get through. But if you keep you standing using the shield of faith, you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts. And what the devil meant for evil ends up working for your good. What he designed to be a stumbling block ends up being a stepping stone. And the effects of it are put out, just like that snake that bit Paul. And while Paul was teaching, a snake comes out the fire and bites Paul. And he shook it off and kept on going. And act like nothing happened. And everybody thought was waiting for him to swell up and die. And Paul never swelled up. He never died. He just kept doing what he was supposed to be doing. There are things that God going to take you through. And everybody's going to be going, how did they make it through that? Yeah, that would have taken me out. But you have been able to stand through it. But you have to use your faith in order to stand. So this message, I said, is about standing. You have to stand, we said, first of all, when you've done all you can do. Sometimes we're always trying to figure out, what do I do? What more do I need to do? Sometimes you've done everything you can do, and nothing more to do but stand. Amen. Second, we said, you have to stand when there's no place to run. That's what the children of Israel were told to do in Exodus 14 as they come to the Red Sea. They couldn't run. Pharaoh's best army and choicest soldiers and the best of the chariots are pursuing them. And the Red Sea is before them. And Moses stands before them and said in Exodus 14 and 13, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the prophetic word that the Lord gave me to give you last week was recline your chair, sip your coke, and pass the popcorn. Because if you stand in faith, God's about to put on a show for you. Hallelujah. So you got to stand also until there's further instruction. First thing he says to stand. The next thing after they stood, now he says, now go forth. Oh, this is so good. This is so good. They had to stand because the Red Sea wasn't open yet. Once the Red Sea opened, now we listen to further instruction. Because sometimes, we gave you this last week, until you hear differently, the last order stand. So God says, stand. Then he opens up the Red Sea. Now he says, go forward. Listen, don't you go forward until the Red Sea opens. Sometimes you're going forward in things that's going to drown you because God didn't open up the Red Sea yet. But if you would just stay in faith until the next voice from God, till the next word from God, till the next assignment from God, then things won't be so hard and you won't find yourself swimming through what you're supposed to walk through. That was for somebody right there. He says sometimes standing also means doing and continue to do what the Lord told you to do. Doing and continue to do what the Lord told you to do. And we looked at Exodus 24 where the Lord tells Moses in Exodus 24, 12 through 16, come up to the mountain, be there. Come up to the mountain, be there. I'm going to give you tablets of stone. Now, I'm sure he thought as soon as he got in the mountain, God was going to give him the tablets of stone. And he had to wait for 6 days. 6 days in silence. 6 days in silence. You know, us folk, charismatic, Pentecostal folks, whatever, we don't like silence. We can't handle silence. If it get too silent in our service, somebody going to scream. Just watch. We can't handle silence. If it get too quiet, Spirit of the Lord start moving. Lord want to speak. Somebody going, thank God! Hallelujah! Because we got a problem with silence. And sometimes you just got to be silent. Sometimes nothing moving, nothing rumbling. You got to be silent. Some of y'all don't. Some of y'all, the reason why you don't get more results in your prayer life, because you think prayer life is about you talking all the time and running your mouth and going off loud in tongues. And you got to learn as part of your prayer life to just be there, sitting there, saying nothing, laying there, saying nothing, on your knees, saying nothing, in silence, and letting the Lord speak. I've been in some churches that where I had to give some, you know, y'all know, a preacher like me, most, particularly preachers out of that any kind of African American tradition, we like some response. You know, we're like, hey man, hallelujah. But then sometimes you can tell folks they ain't listen to you. You know, today, hallelujah. I want to preach about, yes, go ahead, preach about it. Let's turn to the Exodus. Amen. Glory of God. Go through the Red Sea. I've been in churches where before I could go any further, I had to say, now, listen, I want you, I appreciate you responding. I need you to know what you're responding to and listen. There's times, y'all, we got to learn to just be silent and let God speak and wait for further instructions. Amen. That was a review last week. Let's move on this week. Because standing also means standing in faith. Also means staying in your position of faith. Say that, so I will stay in my position of faith. Look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24, Jesus again gives this parable. And he gives the point, gives the parable. And then he wraps it up. Matthew 24, starting verse 44. And it says, therefore, be ye also ready. That word ready there, it means prepared. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, in this original context, this is what we call an eschatological scripture. It's talking about the end times. It's talking about the second coming of Christ and all that. And that is its meaning in its context. But I want to give a broader application today to know, to tell you that being ready means being prepared for whatever God wants to do, whatever he tells you, and whenever he wants to move. Not just sitting waiting for Jesus to come back and crack the sky. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Now he gives the characteristics of this faithful and wise servant, of whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in their in due season. He said, let me show you the person who God's going to bless, who he's going to prosper, who he's going to increase, who he's going to promote, and who he's going to honor and to give him great prosperity. Here's the characteristic of that person. Verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Not having done, but still doing. Y'all ever meet people say, I used to be in the church? You ever meet people, I used to work in the church. I used to serve the Lord. I used to serve in ministry. I used to volunteer, but now they're making money, y'all. Y'all quiet on that one. So they don't have time to do that anymore. I was sharing with our ministers and elders. I had a meeting, and I had you know, we have certain criteria for certain things, okay? Anything that's organized has prerequisites. You can't be flying by the wing, by the seat of your pants, and everything is based upon relationship, okay? And you this because if everything is simply based upon relationship, we call that nepotism. That's when you just promote people just because you know them and they're not qualified. That ain't even the case in the scriptures. As much as we talk about the Jews being God's chosen people and all that, God was constantly rebuking them, telling them to come up. I'm displeased with this. And just because they were in relationship, it didn't mean that they didn't have certain roles they're supposed to fulfill. And so years ago, we had someone who wanted to be in our school of ministry. And when you apply for the school of ministry, you know, they do things like pull a tithing records and see how faithful you are. Well, this person wasn't tithing, so he didn't qualify to be in school of ministry. So he got upset and left the church. Well, I can't believe. Well, now he also used to buy me shoes all the time. I didn't ask for no shoes. Do y'all think I can buy my own shoes? I just want to let you know, you can't bribe me by buying me shoes, cars. Well, maybe cars. No, I'm just kidding. Shoes, clothes. I meant to say clothes. Shoes, clothes, that kind of thing. And so he said, well, you know, I bought you shoes. I never asked you to buy me shoes. Okay? Sometimes there's criteria for certain things. And then I'll never forget this. And so he said, well, for the last year I haven't been tithing. But before that, I was doing such and such and such and such. The scripture says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Y'all quiet now. Not used to do. Can I tell you, used to do don't count in the kingdom of God. It's what you're doing right now that counts in the kingdom of God. The Bible says, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love in that you have ministered. Then it says, and do minister. You used to, and you're still doing it. So God's not going to give you a watch for 30 years of service and say, now just sit down. There's still something for you to be doing right now. You still got to stay in faith right now. I told you about my grandmother, who we affectionately call Nana, who went to be with the Lord, I guess about, I don't know, I lose track. Really, I've had so many people pass my family, I lose track. Maybe it was about 10 years ago. But Nana was 93 when she went to be with the Lord. About the last 5 to 7 years, she wasn't going to church anymore. Now, this is somebody who the pastor used to call his assistant pastor. He used to call Mrs. Chapel's assistant. He said, and, you know, she did the church announcements. And she always taught. She taught the junior class Sunday school. And at the end of the service, which was from 11 o'clock to 12:30, about 12:15, she did her announcements. Yo, boy, they was like that. Yo. Somebody said, how come this church ain't like that? Because we ain't that church. And so the pastor would, anything the pastor couldn't remember, she would yell it out. It's at 3:30. That was her. It's at 3:30. No, it's next Monday. You know, she knew everything. She knew the church schedule. But the last about 5 to 7 years, you know, I would call Nana on a Sunday night and say, how was church today? And she said, I didn't go to church. I said, Nana, you go. She said, listen, I've been going to church all my life. Now, I done church enough. Now, how you get 85 and decide no more church? Y'all know nobody should go to church. Should be the old lady, ain't got nothing else to do. It ain't like you working. You only got to go out of the house on Sunday. I said, Nana, I can't believe this. All these years. See, you all have to know my Nana, how she thought. If I don't want to go to church, I have to. Now, I've been to church all these years. And it was just fine. What the scripture say, y'all? It says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall what? Find so doing. Everybody say, still doing it. Sometimes standing means I'm still doing it. Look, somebody say, I'm still doing it. You still tithing? I'm still doing it. Job's wife says to him, you still going to retain your integrity and keep serving God? Yeah, I'm still going to do it. Yeah, through the good, through the bad, through the up, through the down, I'm still going to be faithful to God. I'm still doing it. I'm staying in my position of faith. And look what he says, verse 47. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that servant If that servant says in his heart, well, it looks like Jesus is not coming back. If that servant says in his heart, it looks like my reward is being delayed. If that servant says in his heart, it looks like nothing going to happen. Verse 49, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants. Here we go, y'all. And to eat and drink with the drunken. Oh, so now Jesus ain't coming so I can get drunk now. Look what it says. Oh, Jesus ain't coming. I can go back. I can get high. I can go to the club. I can do whatever. Because Jesus is not coming anytime soon. He said that servant shall begin to start abusing the fact that he thinks that the Lord is not going to show up. Shall begin to smite his servant to eat and drink with the drunk. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, at a time you don't expect, and in an hour he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion, what he was going to do for him. Look, oh man, with the hypocrites. He's going to judge you like one of the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know about you, but I want everything God has for me. And if I got to stay in faith to get it, I'm going to stay in faith. I'm not going to be like some of you. Well, you know, doesn't look like it's happening now. So I can go back to my old lifestyle, do my old things, because it does. Maybe Jesus is not coming back. No, I want to be found faithful still doing. That verse 46 through 47, the Message translation says this. It says, who here qualifies for the job of overseeing the kitchen? Some of y'all are working in the kitchen, and God wants you to oversee the kitchen. Who here qualifies for the job of overseeing the kitchen? That's verse 46 from the Message translation. A person the master can depend on to feed the workers on time each day. That sounds like being faithful to me. Someone the master, well, look at this, y'all, can drop in on unannounced. And always find him doing his job. I'm an employer. It amazes me sometimes when I see folk get busy when I walk by. You walk by, all of a sudden, I saw you on Facebook. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Lord, I done just put a whole bunch of words in my notes doing that. I think that's tongues. Unsure, E for Shasha. Oh, okay, all right. Gotcha, get rid of that. Where was I? Someone the master can drop in on and always find him doing his job. Can I tell you, a faithful person is not just faithful when the supervisor, the manager, the boss, or the pastor's around. If you need somebody looking over you all the time, you're not a person of integrity. Oh, y'all don't like that. I said, if you need somebody looking over you all the time, you are not a person of integrity. Look at this. A God-blessed man or woman, I tell you, it won't be long before the master will put this person in charge of the whole operation. You see the analogy in the Message translation? He said, you got a little job working in the kitchen, and God trying to make you the manager of the whole restaurant. But he's looking for you to remain faithful right where you are. And be found doing whether anyone is looking or not. Are y'all listening to me? So, standing also means staying in your position of faith and being true to what you know you should be doing. Let me move on. Standing faith and standing in faith, it also means holding on to what you know. Come on, say that. Say, I got to hold on to what I know. Glory to God. Look at John 8 chapter 31, 32. Now Jesus is talking, he says, to the crowd. Remember, just in John 6, he still had the 5,000 with him, not counting women and children in John 6. So he still got a great crowd. He got a mega crowd following him. Multitudes. It's really believed at a minimum there was 15 to 20,000 that Jesus fed through the disciples on the mountain when he turned the boys' lunch to feed 5,000, because he said it didn't count women and children. And now Jesus, he has their attention. He starts requiring a little bit more. Can I tell you, the more you go on with God, the more he requires of you. A lot of people don't understand that. The longer you stay, the more he requires of you. As you get close to him, God's going to require more of you.
How do you stand when things around you seem to be spiraling out of control? We can stand firm on God's word, knowing that he'll work things out for our good. Bishop Herbert Bailey gives you the courage to stand in this powerful message. Order this powerful message today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for faith to stand. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.